Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Smith looking for the end zone and Lockett. Oh, and he drops it in! Tyler Lockett with the touchdown!
You kidding me?
McCaffrey, oh, this is dangerous. McCaffrey barreling through tacklers. Oh, McCaffrey all the way down.
And they're finding a seam, showing the wheels to the 20. Eckler, house call.
Lawrence lofting end zone. Caught for the touchdown.
And it's still free. Tyreek's got to look out. Tyreek Hill might go. Tyreek Hill was right on the spot, and he's gone for a touchdown.
Here comes Allen with the keep and the leap.
Barkley, nice cut. There he goes. Saquon to the end zone. Touchdown, Giants.
Another third down, third and three. Cousins looks to throw. Lofting for the end zone. And Jefferson, touchdown, Minnesota.
First and goal. Dobbins again. Dances, drives, and scores. Four-yard touchdown run by J.K. Dobbins.
Burrow on a first and 10. Going to loft it down the sideline. Chase has it.
Scott Cruz underneath complete. CeeDee Lamb, was he down? They say no for now. And he's into the end zone for a touchdown.
Brady loading up, going deep. Evans is open. He's got it in for the touchdown.
Now here's Brady Hall.
Football Friday returns. And no Broncos to talk about. We'll get into some more of the coaching stuff later on, but it is going to be a crazy weekend in the NFL when it goes to the wild card. Starting with the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers at 2:30.
Our new best friends.
Our new best buddies. Pete Carroll and
Geno. You don't like either one of them, but you just need one to win.
Yeah, well... This is the missed opportunity bowl. That's what this is. This is the Broncos missed opportunity bowl. It's Kyle Shanahan, who you passed on to be the head coach of the Broncos. And it's, well, I guess the Seahawks thing's not missed opportunity bowl. For them, it's the bad opportunity bowl. Because you had the opportunity to trade for Russell Wilson, and you did. And Seattle has won that trade. You brought it up at the start of the show. That this is, Seattle can screw the Broncos either way here. If they win, well, they can go, dude, we not only won the trade, we won a freaking playoff game without Russell Wilson and Geno Smith. And we have your draft pick. And we have some players that are actually pretty good for us. Shelby Harris, Noah Fant. And if they lose to the Niners, well, the Niners draft pick just got a little bit worse that the Broncos have. So Seattle can absolutely dominate and destroy, embarrassingly destroy, the trade here that they've already won is so far. Now, could turn around next year and Russell Wilson cooks and he's pretty good. And they go to the playoffs and Seattle misses out. So far, so good. Pete Carroll, one. Broncos, nothing. Niners are 9-point favorites. That is a common theme this weekend, Angel. A lot of big spreads here. Seattle, San Francisco's -9. Miami and Buffalo -13.5. That's the biggest spread of the weekend. Then you have Baltimore and Cincy that's moved to 8.5. So a couple of big time spreads this weekend. When you look at this game, Seattle, San Francisco, I like to look at it this way when we first start breaking these games down. What sticks out first? What is the thing here? And to me, it's when I'm looking at San Francisco, I go, all right, we know how good you are defensively. We know how many great weapons you have on the offensive side of the ball. But when will the situation with Brock Purdy slow down a little bit, cool off? I mean, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, I mean, they have so many good player. Kyle, how do you say their fullback's name, Angel? Help me out here. Translation.
Juszczyk.
I mean, he's a stud. They utilize a fullback. Not a lot of teams do that. An amazing offensive line. Defensively, they have everything. So, It's on Brock Purdy, isn't it? If he doesn't perform well, or at least average, like he doesn't have to be great. He's just got to be average. Then they're going to lose if he's bad, which at some point, Angel, he's a third string quarterback. Or is this just who Brock Purdy is? Is he a good quarterback?
I think he is good. I think there's a lot of credit to Shanahan's system and the talent. Not just the system, but the talent implemented into this system. And the addition of Christian McCaffrey allows you to do so much more that you're not putting all the pressure on your quarterback. He just has to stay upright and distribute the ball.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's kind of been the same thing for San Francisco for a few years now, is the starting quarterback doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. You just can't turn the ball over. Well, and it's just a few games for him. He has thrown for 1,300 yards, 13 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. So pretty solid number with a completion percentage at 67% and a quarterback rating of 107. So is it going to happen? Is he going to finally hit a game where you're going, all right, that's why. You're a third string quarterback for a reason. But I don't know, man. I mean, Seattle, 9-8. Surprised everybody. Geno Smith has put together some very good numbers. Do you think Seattle covers this? I mean, we'll give our picks, but this one specifically, just looking at this game, it's 9. And that's a lot in these playoff games. That's a lot in the NFL.
It is, and I think the weather might play a factor in this game. If it's rainy, if it's sloshy out on the field, you're not really throwing the ball as much. I think Seattle has a decent enough running game. I think there's still talent with the receivers, with Lockett and Metcalf. Even Noah Fant has been showing up as tight end. So with a team that really has no pressure on them to do anything, you can just go out and just play football and just do your best.
Yeah, there's no pressure there. Nobody expects Seattle to win this thing. But again, San Francisco's defense, I think they're number one against the pass. They're number two against the rush. So this is a very good football team. Not number one against the pass, excuse me, but their defense overall is number one. I mean, they allow 300 yards per game. So that is a stingy defense. I think they're number one in the league in points allowed, too. Only 16, a Broncos average there that they're giving up. So, but Geno Smith, man, I mean, he has been underrated all year. I kept thinking at some point he was going to start struggling. And he did have some of those games where that happened to him. But he finished in the top 10 in yards. You know, very solid for him. He threw for 30 touchdowns and only 11 interceptions. Those are actually pretty good numbers compared to some of the best quarterbacks in the game right now. I mean, Kirk Cousins threw for 29, Josh Allen 35. Geno Smith's numbers are right there with those guys. So can they pull off a crazy upset? That game, is that one interesting to you?
Yeah. Interesting. Like Ryan had said, all these teams have played each other, so we've seen these matchups before. Some of them rubber matches, some of them, a sweep in some cases. But when it's a rival, when it's a division opponent that you know very well, it's hard to say it won't be a close game.
Yeah, no, I hear you. 6:15 Saturday night, Chargers-Jags. That one has intrigue because for Jacksonville, what Doug Peterson has done to revive this team, to get Trevor Lawrence to a good spot, that has been really impressive. And they're a 1.5-point favorite. So, I mean, the odds makers are looking at this game thinking, man, they're pretty evenly matched. This could be a really good football game on Saturday night.
It could. You got your two young, up-and-coming quarterbacks at the helm. Chargers have a good running game with Eckler. Mm. We'll see what happens with Williams out.
Yikes.
Their run defense has been very susceptible this year. Jacksonville has a good running game. Trevor Lawrence is starting to come on a little bit. And their defense is very good.
Yeah, who would have thought the Jags would be at this point? 9-8 in a playoff game, won the division. I mean, that's a crazy turnaround. Last year with Urban Meyer, they were a sideshow. I mean, it was a bad, bad thing. They went out on a big limb and tried to get Urban Meyer in the NFL, and that was horrible.
And they tried to bring Tebow back.
You saw some of the blocks he was laying at tight end. I mean, that was only a year ago. Can you believe that? Like a year and a half ago.
It's wild.
That Urban Meyer brought Tebow in.
Remember? We thought, oh, this is going to work out. This is going to be great. Tebow resurgence. Urban Meyer's back.
Oh, my gosh.
And then you went to a bar.
Oh, among many
things.
His
own bar, I mentioned.
Yeah. And didn't go on the team, fly, kicking people, berating coaches.
Where is Urban Meyer these days?
Doing sideline stuff, doing broadcasting stuff still. It's crazy. It's crazy they wanted him back so quickly. Like, give us some time, man. Every time I see Urban Meyer, all I can think about is him just sitting there awkwardly with that girl just rubbing up on him. And he just seemed so weird. That was such a weird deal. Chargers on the other side. Staley, the pressure is on, my friend. You got to win. It is must win for the Chargers. Obviously, they're all must win. But for his career, I really think it is. I think that there's been too much screwing around from him. But if he can overcome all that and beat the Jags, okay, you won a playoff game. You move on to the divisional round. That's pretty significant for a Chargers team that really hasn't gotten quite back to that in several years, since the heyday, really, of Philip Rivers. So, there's a lot of pressure, man. Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence. I don't know how good Trevor Lawrence is ultimately going to be, but Herbert has put himself up in that upper echelon of quarterbacks. I mean, he had a really good year this year. 25 touchdowns, 10 picks. He threw for almost 5,000 yards, 4,700 yards. There's only one 5,000-yard passer this year, and that was Patrick Mahomes. But Herbert's been sensational. Can they do it? That one I'm really looking forward to, mainly just because of I'm curious to see what the Chargers do if they lose and how they respond without Mike Williams. How the rest of the team responds to Staley. And that's the thing I wonder. Like, did they all go to Staley and say, we want to keep playing? And if they didn't, are they mad that they kept them? Players want to play. They're not going to be mad at him. But now when you're done with the game and you look back and you go, man, we lost one of our studs. Freaking Mike Williams. That is, make no mistake about it, that is a big loss. That one could potentially be the difference maker in this game. I mean, Mike Williams this year led the team in yards. He didn't lead it in receptions. But he did have 895 yards, 63 receptions, 4 touchdowns. Austin Eckler had 107 catches this year. Can you believe that? It's a different game, man. I mean, running backs are being utilized more and more in the passing attack. But you take that production out, getting about 70 yards per game from Mike Williams, that is a big one. So that game's interesting, and then we're moving on to Sunday. The Dolphins and the Bills. Angel, again, another one that you said, you know, hey, this team's going in with no pressure. Because you're right. Nobody expects them to win. They got Thompson in at quarterback, another third-string quarterback, like we talked about with Brock Purdy, and maybe the Ravens are going to go on their third-string quarterback. It's got to be a record for third-string quarterbacks in a playoff weekend. I guess it just kind of goes to the testament of these teams, though, that they were able to fight through a lot of adversity. That Baltimore was still able to hang on to their playoff spot. That Miami was still able to win that final game, even though they lost, well, they lose like 5 in a row to end the season. They did find a way to beat the Jets in 11-6 baseball game. They got in. And then for the Niners, you know, Lance, Garoppolo, Brock Purdy, they were able to survive that. So it does talk about, you know, these coaching staffs or all that that have just been able to keep these teams together at least enough to get them into the playoffs. The biggest spread of the weekend, though, is Buffalo minus 13.5, Angel. And like you said, the Dolphins are the Rodney Dangerfield. They get no respect, man.
They don't get any respect, and that's fine. You know, we're going to be the underdogs on Sunday. And as the week has gone on, I went from very optimistic and hopeful to down in the dumps, absolutely awful. Mm-mm. So now I'm starting to climb out of it a little bit and just getting more excited just to see the team play in a playoff game. And that, for some people, that's not enough. For others, it's they shouldn't even be there. But the fact is they're there. They got in. Now you have the best team in football. Going up against them, they're going to be rocking and build in Orchard Park. I imagine DeMar Hamlin might make an appearance.
That'd be cool.
He is going to be on the minds of that team, trying to get that team over the hump of the playoffs as they start their potential title run. And the Dolphins, you just got to go play. You got to line up and just go play.
Josh Allen threw for 4,283 yards and 35 touchdowns. Obviously, Josh Allen is looking. If you're a Buffalo fan, you're really thinking this is the year. So it would be a major disappointment, certainly not to get out of the wild card spot. But if you don't, at least I think get to the Super Bowl. I think that those, obviously, the expectations all year, the Bills were the favorites. Now they're kind of the darling of the NFL because of DeMar Hamlin, so they do have that going for them. So that one's an interesting one. That starts us off on Sunday. Then Giants-Vikings. Vikings are 3-point favorite, and this is a weird one, man. Daniel Jones, I just keep thinking he's going to do something crazy in this game.
I've seen a lot of people and analysts picking the Giants to win this game, and I can't fathom why. Because the Vikings offense is just so dangerous and so just effective scoring with Justin Jefferson and Cook, and Cousins is just steady. Their defense, they're going to give up points, but we saw these two teams match up a few weeks ago and it was a back and forth overtime affair. The Giants are just a very good, scrappy kind of team, and I think that comes from their head coach, Dable.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the Giants are just kind of dangerous. I think with Daniel Jones, I didn't think anything of this guy.
We've seen this story before with this organization.
Yeah, so
no one expects
going
them to
in,
do anything.
Kind of like a 500 type team under the radar. The other thing, and I know Kirk Cousins has won on national TV a little bit more, but that is still something that sticks with him. Can he perform when it's just the Vikings game and it's nationally everybody watching that game, paying attention to that game? Can they get over that hump and win a wild card game this weekend? So a lot of interesting ones. Ravens-Bengals. I mean, if you're the Ravens, I'm actually surprised since he's only an 8.5-point favorite. But the Ravens, as Clark pointed out on Clark and the Coach earlier, it's a pretty good defense. They have a really good defense. Can they slow Cincinnati down enough to where they can keep it close late? That's what I would be looking at here. If you can stay close and somehow make it a fourth quarter game, maybe you pull off something. So it's like, is Tyler Huntley going to play? I keep hearing no. So next would be Anthony Brown as your quarterback. And again, you just look at the offensive numbers outside of Lamar Jackson. Who was really put? I mean, Mark Andrews obviously is a stud. But outside of that, and Lamar, the offensive numbers just aren't really there. So Ravens-Bengals, that's an 8.5-point spread there. Monday night football, Cowboys-Buccaneers, probably the most interesting one of the group, just because they are who they are. They're Dallas and Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. Very appealing here. The Cowboys are 2.5-point favorites in this game. Feels about right, but it's in Tampa. So, is this the end for Tom Brady and his time with the Bucks? Does he have 6 Super Bowls or 7?
I believe 7.
7.
He has 6. He had 6 with New England.
And then he got the 1 with Tampa Bay. Man, if he can find a way to win this. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. It's just, isn't it, when you're picking this game, don't you just go, yeah, but it's still Tom Brady.
You cannot count him out.
It's really hard to.
Until the clock hits 0 and they don't have enough points, you can't count him out.
He threw for 4,600 yards and 25 touchdowns. It wasn't a banner year for him necessarily, but still right up there in terms of passing yards with everybody, with the top players in this league. So I don't know, man. That's going to be an interesting game. And then the Mike McCarthy thing stands out. Brady was actually 3rd in the league in yards, but 25 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. Pretty similar numbers to Justin Herbert. How does Brady do that? On years where it doesn't feel like he's actually very good, he still finishes like in the top 3. Just
efficiency.
I guess. He was good. 68 or 66% completion percentage. So we'll give our picks later on, but that kind of sets the stage for the NFL Wild Card Weekend, which should be very entertaining for the most part. We'll talk more about that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Irritating the hands is demonstrating
it first. I know you will. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling will get that heater figured out for you, or maybe a new system altogether. Maybe a new system for the air conditioner, because you ran it ragged over the summer and you knew it was on its last leg. Talk to our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Bizarre weekend, really, because a lot of these games, Angel, have Sean Payton ties to them. If the Chargers lose, do they fire Staley? And is that an appealing job for Sean Payton? If the Cowboys lose, is that, and then they do fire McCarthy, is that an appealing job? I think if the Cowboys lose on Monday, I think Sean Payton's going to be a Dallas Cowboy. For many reasons. I think Jerry Jones will pay whatever. Andrew Bogish of CBS Sports Radio told us earlier, he feels like Jones would back off a little bit, too. If you got a guy like Sean Payton, he wouldn't be as much of a micromanager, and he'd back away a little bit, let him work. So I think that one is where he's going to go. Now, the Rams is interesting, too, but who's the better team, the Rams or the Cowboys? If you want to look at your best shot to go win again early, then I would imagine it's you're not looking at the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, it's appealing because, you know, he's lives there. It's the Rams. It's Los Angeles. It's a big job. You know, it's a popular team. Uh-oh, what do we got? What do we got, Angel?
This coming from Diana Rossini of ESPN. Sean McVay has informed members of the Rams organization that he will be staying on as the head coach.
Whoa,
per sources.
Oh, there we go. So Sean McVay's sticking around.
Yes, sir.
I'm shocked by that. I thought he was done. He's sticking with the Rams. They wanted him to big time. So there you go. That's one job out of the equation for Sean Payton. And if you're a Broncos fan and you're wanting Sean Payton, then this is good news for you. That eliminates one of them. The other thing, you need to root for the Chargers to win, and you need to root for the Cowboys to win, because that would maybe eliminate two of those jobs. But you're still kind of thinking, of the three that have interviewed him or that will interview him, Houston, Denver, and Arizona, a lot of folks are kind of leaning toward Arizona being that choice right now.
Yep, I think if it's not Dallas, it'll be Arizona at this point.
It makes sense. I mean, if I'm a head coach and I want to come back and start putting my own style into a team, I can do that better with a younger quarterback, a moldable quarterback. And don't you think for a guy like Kyler Murray, I know he had a good relationship with Kingsbury, but for Kyler Murray, don't you think he's more likely to look at a Sean Payton and really really stop and listen to him? And I'm not saying that Murray didn't listen, or I don't know. There's a lot of negative stuff out there about Kyler Murray. But don't you just think that the respect for Sean Payton is great throughout the league, that a Kyler Murray, if there's somebody that can kind of get him back on the right track to where he started, it could be Sean Payton, smaller quarterback, shorter quarterback, similar to what he worked with Drew Brees.
Well, I think it's possible that maybe Murray has this expectation of himself because he is extremely talented, and maybe he's thought that Kingsbury wasn't a good enough coach to completely utilize his talents, and maybe he thinks Sean Payton can. And Sean Payton has said in the past how much he likes Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you heard him in the combine, too, at the combine years ago, talking about Kyler Murray. I mean, he was definitely pretty high on that guy. So it makes sense. But yeah, Sean McVay, dude, good for him to get this done quickly. You know, that he didn't take a whole lot of time. Barely took a week.
Oh, this was supposed to go until like next week.
Yeah. I like that. Like Sean McVay doing that. Respect for him for not dragging this out and making a quick decision. Because a coaching decision is tough, Angel. You got to hurry on that. Because they're already starting their process of free agency and the draft and everything. So he probably took a few days, went on vacation, did some thinking, skipped some rocks, walked around, and then made a decision. So that eliminates the Rams job for Sean Payton going forward, which it's a good thing too, because I don't know, what's the Rams draft situation or draft pick situation look like? I don't think they have. Do they even have a first round pick? Because they've traded it, and as Sean McVay says, they don't mess around with those draft picks. He's more likely to do the free agency thing. So I don't know if they would have been able to acquire him, because they don't have a first-round pick, and I think the Saints, that's what they want. It's got to be a first-round pick this year, at least part of the package.
So right now they have the fifth pick in the second round.
Okay, so.
And a third-round pick as well.
So that, yeah, I think the Saints are going to go. That would have been tough for the Rams anyway.
They would have to give all their draft capital.
Yeah, pretty much everything. Because if you don't have a first, you got to find an equivalent.
So it seems like everything. Stafford and McVay are going to be tied to the hip for the rest of the career.
Yeah, sounds like it. Sure sounds like it. 33 minutes after the hour. Picks are coming up very, very soon. More on the NFL playoffs when we come back. But first, let's jump out real quick, Angel, and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies is now Greeley's hometown orthopedic group. They've been doing this for 51 years. They've been the specialists in the medicine of motion throughout the Front Range in northern Colorado. They're also proud to be a part of Greeley's situation now. Greeley's hometown orthopedic group. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Their location in Greeley is located on 16th Street in the Greeley Medical Clinic on the third floor. Check them out online at orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. That's interesting about Sean McVay. Like I said earlier, if you're rooting for Sean Payton to be the next head coach of the Broncos, this is very good news for you because one team is now eliminated. Still a lot of stuff to get through, though. You got to be more appealing than the Arizona job. You got to be more appealing than maybe the Dallas job, maybe the Chargers job. And to be honest, you got to be more appealing than TV. Because what's to say that if McCarthy and Dallas go to the Super Bowl and they keep McCarthy and the Chargers win and they keep Staley, what's to say Sean Payton just goes, you know what, maybe this isn't the year. I got 2 years left on the Saints deal. I could either sit it out one more year to just see what happens, or I can sit it out two more years and then I'd just be a free agent. I go sign wherever with no concern about what the Saints have to say about it. He could very well just stay with TV. Doesn't sound like that, though, because he is doing the interviews and everything. But, boy, the Rams one was interesting. I'm glad Sean McVay is sticking with it, aren't you? It's one of those coaches you like to see in the NFL.
Yeah, I like Sean McVay. I think it's always tough coming off of a Super Bowl and trying to, you know, reestablish that and recapture that lightning. But, you know, Matthew Stafford's injury concerns all year. The team was kind of beat up. I think you give him another year to just see if they can get fixed and get steady again, and then we'll see. But, yeah, him and Stafford will finish this out together.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know how it'll work out, how they get better with not a lot of draft picks. It's certainly going to be interesting for the Rams. Certainly not a first-round pick, but they kind of believe in the free agency process and doing all of that. So one domino has fallen. A little update for you. I told you guys to wait on betting on the Nuggets. No Nikola Jokic tonight. They're just calling it load management, wrist management.
Wrist injury management
for the Joker. That's a bummer.
It's too many one-handed rebounds.
Can they beat the Clippers without the Joker?
It'll be a good test for them.
I mean, they killed him the other night.
I don't know who would be starting, if it would be Conchar or Najee or Jordan.
It would be, I would think it'd be Zeke, Najee. Zeke. I would imagine.
Do you think Jordan plays tonight then?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I think he does. It's an 8 o'clock game.
Whew. You got to stop with these 8 o'clock tip-offs.
They were 2.5-point favorites. Now they're 4.5-point favorites. The Clippers are. Oh. So.
I might take that.
Yeah?
I kind of like that.
Get the points?
Mm-hmm.
Take the points? Jamal Murray's listed as day-to-day. Bruce Brown is listed as day-to-day. Joker officially listed as out. Here you go, though. Paul George is still out. And Luke Kennard's out. So. You know, Angel, this would be listen, I never want to watch the Nuggets without the Joker. I love the guy, but I got to tell you, I'm a little interested. How do they respond without Nikola Jokic? This team has been playing. Last year, I would have said, chalk this up as a loss. It's over. I don't care. I don't even. Who are they playing? I don't care. Without Joker, this was a 12-win team. Seriously, dude. With Joker, obviously, we know how good they can be. This year, I don't know. Can Jamal Murray take over tonight? Can he be a big piece to what they're trying to do? I like this game. I'm actually kind of excited. Again, don't want to make this a habit, but let's see what this team's made of without the Joker.
Be interested to see the rotations tonight, especially with that second unit. I can expect Christian Brown to get some more minutes. Bones getting a lot of minutes on the second with that bench. So we'll see if he keeps staggering Jamal or if he takes Jamal out with the rest of the starters. But very, very interested to see what Michael Malone does tonight.
Yeah, you're right on the what would they do with the depth chart. Is Zeke Nagy? I asked Katie Wingy if Zeke Nagy was the backup center. And, I mean, he's the one who's getting the playing time. He comes in as the center when he's in the game and no DeAndre Jordan. Or do they go somehow, they go small? Do they put a Aaron Gordon at center and even start Bruce Brown or something like that? I don't know if he'll do that. But you've certainly seen some unique combinations, and that would be unique if they went that. But they're so big at center with Zubac there. I don't know, man. I could see the Nuggets winning this game.
So just looking back at their last game against the Clippers just a few games ago, Jokic, 12 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists. Not a huge game for him, but no. Not a game that you're going to get killed if you don't have those numbers.
No, they've destroyed this team before they even got to the fourth quarter. It was over. I mean,
everybody else was in double digits. KCP had 9. You had 3 guys in double digits off the bench.
Yeah.
You should be able to beat them.
Yeah, you should be able to. You might be able to. This would be a nice test for this group. No question about it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Like I said, I'm not excited about seeing a team, you know, Joker not playing tonight. But I'm just curious to see, is this a big Jamal Murray night? Is this a big MPJ night? Can Aaron Gordon produce without Joker? He used to do it all the time in Orlando. Can he find production in the point game without the big guy, without Nikola Jokic? So that'll be fun looking at that one going forward. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I got the picks coming up very, very soon. Are you ready? You got your picks too, Angel. I want your picks on this.
Yes.
I want to pit them up against each other and see how we do throughout the playoff, throughout the next few weeks. See where we go. Do you have a Super Bowl pick? Just give me your Super Bowl winner. You don't have to tell me how it's going. You're not gonna do it, are you?
No.
You had that look though. You have that look.
You know what? Give me Philadelphia. My old pal Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith. They're gonna get it done.
Philly.
Let's go Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Philly.
I will not pick an AFC team.
Because you can't.
I just will not. I refuse.
You're contractually obligated now to pick the Dolphins every game?
Yeah.
Which would mean you would pick them to go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well just say it's going to be Philadelphia and Miami in the Super
Bowl. That's what I thought it was like 2 months ago.
You might
they
as well
were both
just...
undefeated, or they're both like 8-9 wins.
Yeah. I'm ready for it. This weekend is kind of touch and go, but I think next weekend is where it's going to be very interesting. All right, picks coming up next, 46 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's time to make our picks. Here, Brady Hall.
All right. Haven't made picks in a while, Angel. But we're going to pick them. We're going to go through the NFL playoffs. You're even jumping in on this. We're going to go against each other, Angel. We'll see how it fares at the end of the run. So let's take a look. Seattle at San Francisco. Geno Smith, Brock Purdy. Pete Carroll, Kyle Shanahan. Who do you like? The Niners are 9-point favorites, Angel. Where are you going?
With the weather being the way it is, divisional game, I'm not going to write off Geno Smith and the Seahawks just yet. Niners win, but the Seahawks cover.
You got them to cover. Okay. I like the Niners and Brock Purdy to go crazy in this game. I do like San Fran to cover. -9. Sunday night, I'll go first on this one. Saturday night, excuse me. Los Angeles Chargers, Jacksonville Jaguars. The Chargers are a 1.5-point favorite. I think Staley, I think he saves his job. The Chargers win, and they cover -1.5. Where are you going on, Jell?
I'm going the exact opposite of you. Give me Doug Peterson. Give me Sunshine and the Duval Jaguars.
Man, you kind of got two versions of Sunshine, too. Herbie's kind of a poor man's Sunshine.
If you shave your head bald, you are no longer Sunshine.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so we're different there. Here we go. All right, Angel, we already know where you're going. There's no point in asking. Dolphins-Bills. Are the Dolphins winning outright, or are they just covering?
Dolphins are going to cover.
Okay, you're not picking. Okay.
I'm not picking them to lose. I am picking them
just
to cover.
Just to cover. All right. I am picking the Bills to win, obviously, and I do like them to cover. I like them to cover 2 touchdowns there. It's -13.5. Giants-Vikings. The Vikings are 3-point favorites in this game at home. Whew! I like the Giants to win this thing, man. I'm taking Daniel Jones, Dable, and Saquon and all those guys. I like the Giants. And that's sad for Brian, and I feel bad for that. But I gotta pick with what I'm thinking here. I'm going Giants.
It's okay, Brian. Your fellow morning show
person.
I got your back on this one. Give me the purple and gold in the Vikings.
Everybody's teams are going
to
win.
Well.
Everybody's teams are going to win. So you got them to cover. All right. Ravens, Bengals. Maybe they're down to their third string quarterback as well. Let's see. We'll go with you first, Angel. Bengals are 8.5-point favorites. Do the Bengals run all over the Ravens, who have a pretty good defense, but no Lamar, maybe no Tyler Huntley as well?
Yeah, I like the Bengals. That offense is just too powerful. Burrow and Chase mixing at the running back. Give me the Bengals to cover.
All right, I'm going with the Bengals. I think is that the only one we agree on so far?
Yep.
Bengals to cover. There we go. We'll see what happens. Cowboys, Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. The Cowboys are 2.5-point favorites on the road in Tampa. Supposed to be decent weather, 68 to 70 degrees on Monday. Woo-hoo! Beautiful night for football. Back and forth on this one, man. Back and forth. I'm taking Tampa Bay to win. I'm going with Tommy Bones. What do you think?
Give me the Cowboys. I think they get it done.
Do they cover?
Yes, they do.
2.5?
They get the monkey off their back of the Buccaneers. They put Brady away for retirement, maybe. McCarthy keeps his
job.
And the Cowboys move on to more than likely play the Eagles.
So I've got Bucks winning, which means I've got probably Cowboys firing McCarthy, and that also probably means they're going to go get Sean Payton. There we go.
There will be a winner or loser for us.
Oh, my gosh. You and I only agree on one?
Yep.
Is that right? That's insanity, Angel. We are two totally different people, apparently. All right. There we go. We got the picks in. I put mine up at theholeshow.com. Angel has written them out, so we'll compare notes. We'll see how we're doing Monday. And should be a very fun wild card weekend. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the Nuggets game tonight. Come on, UNC Bears and CSU Rams. Bounce back this weekend. Do something. And the Buffs going up against UCLA. So, dude, it is an action-packed weekend. Enjoy. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.